Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Motormouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. In this episode, we're changing things up a little bit and chatting all things mental health with Tacona founder Lewis Warren. Tacona is a brand new clothing brand that is set up to start the conversation and tackle the issue of mental health in the car and motorsport world. We hope you enjoy and don't forget to like and subscribe. Just search for the Motormouth podcast on your favorite podcast platform where you can also leave us a review. And don't forget, you can download the Motormouth app as well where you can get live race times, exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy.
Welcome to the 13th episode of the Motormouth podcast and the third show of 2020. So something very different this week. Today, we're tackling an issue that needs more exposure, men's mental health. And we have Lewis Warren with us, a 26-year-old entrepreneur from Nottinghamshire, now living in Essex, to tell us about his mission to use cars and clothing to raise awareness and get guys talking about their problems. I've got Harry here next to me as always. How are you?
I'm very well, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So while we're on the subject, I suppose it's a good time to explore this with you. We've never touched on this before. No. Have you ever had any kind of exposure to mental health before?
Well, I think yes. I think you're not human if you haven't. But I find it's always something tough to describe if you've had it or not, whether you're just having a bad day or, you know, then how does that, you know, I would never class myself as having depression or anything like that. But then again, I've never really looked into it that badly. But, you know, everyone has good days and bad days, I feel, and some more than others. But of course, you have your ups and downs.
And I guess, you know, in motorsport, I was trying to figure out who wrote this article last night. Lewis might be able to tell us later. I don't know. But there was a chap who worked in Formula One who got depressed on the travels, you know, missing family and friends and home. And, you know, when you tell your mates you work in Formula One, the first thing they think is glamour and parties and all the rest of it. And he was sort of describing the other side of it, where it's a lonely place, a macho place where you've got to be macho. And sometimes it's not all fun and games and you can get low. But
just before we introduce Lewis, one of the things actually was, because obviously I was on the radio once, but that I had to, and not many people know this, but I had to travel for about 4 hours to get there. And sometimes I was doing an overnight shift, or if I was covering, it'd be called up last minute. And when you're working, especially an overnight shift, on very little sleep, you're miles away from home in a city that you don't know anybody. And when you've got to be a happy radio presenter, that was actually, if I was to describe that, that was depressing.
Yeah.
Because how can anyone be, I did that for a year, it really took its toll, and that's why I left at the end of the day, because that is not good for your mental health.
It's
and
not.
I clocked that and was like, no, this is not worth the pain it's causing. But that's something, you know, we can talk about more with Lewis.
A few stats that we've plagiarized from his website, if I'm being honest. I would like to claim the research was mine. But just a few bits and pieces just to highlight the issues that we're looking at. So in 2017, there were 5,821 suicides recorded in Great Britain. Of these, 75% were men. Suicide represents the largest cause of death for men under 50. In the UK, male suicide rates increased by 11% between 2017 and 2018. One in six adults has a common mental health disorder, one woman in five and one man in eight, with men less likely to seek help. Mm. When asked, 28% of men had not sought medical help for the last mental health problem they experienced, compared to just 19% of women. So I guess the question is, how can a car and clothing brand help this problem? And that's why we've brought Lewis here to explain. So Lewis, thank you very much for coming to see us. Welcome to the Motormouth podcast.
Yeah, wrong one. Oh, where's the applause? God. There it is.
Hey. Thank you for having me, guys.
No, through the power of social media, this has been able to come about. Tell us about you and your background, first of all. So what sort of got you to where you are now?
Well, I'd like to say it's nice and linear, but it's probably about the exact opposite, really.
Excellent.
So I started off, I did an accountancy apprenticeship when I was 17 or 18 and absolutely hated that. And then ended up working in psychiatric healthcare for a few years. Absolutely loved that. And then met my incredible partner who kind of, she's doing a doctorate, so she's on a career path. So I had to kind of...
One of those clever people.
Yeah, a lot more so than I am. So she's on this trajectory up to being great and amazing. And I was doing night shifts for just over minimum wage. So I thought, it's time to pull a finger out and try and catch up a bit. So I ended up working as a sales rep for an international logistics company, which is how I ended up down south. And then I decided I'd had enough of that as well. So now I started a clothing brand.
Right. Okay. So, and those years where you were doing the mental health and working in mental health.
Yeah.
3 years doing that, you must have seen a few traumatic things, some very low people. What was it that appealed to you about working in that environment? And what was it about that that led you to get involved and start a business in that world yourself?
So in those environments, you kind of see the worst that there is. It's most people's last resort for fixing the problems that they're going through and kind of getting on the right path to recovery. So you go from kind of my background of working in an office environment and not really knowing any of this stuff exists to seeing some quite harrowing stuff. And over the 3 years, what I found weirdest was you become a bit desensitized to it. So from that environment, the real takeaway was that it is possible to turn something around from such a dark place and kind of work kind of positively and bring things to a much more positive light. And the big takeaway was having someone come in at their worst moments and seeing them grow and recover and kind of leave as relatively ordinary functioning person again. And kind of relaying that back to my own personal experience, the thing that drew me out of a lot of my darkest times was cars, going for a drive, going to events, meets, all that kind of thing was the real driving force behind what has then become the idea for the brand, kind of connecting the two things from my personal life and what was my work life. It seemed kind of an obvious choice when coming up with the idea, really.
There really is something actually about going on a car journey, you know, whether you've got music or whatever in there. I love driving my car just around the roads. I used to, when I first passed my test, I would kill just want to be out in the car just because I felt so much happier just driving around. And it felt like, I don't know, just even the idea of just changing gears and just being that freedom and that sense of independence as well. Plus just, you know, I could drive anywhere I wanted and I was the only one in the car. No one could really have any say on that. So that was what happened for you. You were in the car and just thought,
exactly.
Actually, this is what I love, and this is sort of like a happy space almost.
Yeah. So when I was in my mid-teens, I had personal issues, family related. It's something that, having spoken to people, seems a lot more common than when you're actually in that environment. You feel like you're the only person in the world that's ever experienced it. And what I found was my car was my immediate access to get away from everything. And because I was fortunate enough to have an Austin Mini as my first car, it wasn't exactly the worst driving experience in the world. And it was bright orange and big loud exhaust, all the things that an 18-year-old would want from their first car. So it really helped to kind of get away from the dark places. It helped me to build a social life outside of the normal kind of school and sports and that kind of thing. So it was definitely the car that really impacted most in recovering and growing and becoming kind of fully functioning again.
And how did you move from there into coming up with Jacona? And I know you'll tell us about the name because it's quite an interesting story about how that came about. And what is it with Jacona that you're trying to achieve, and how will you use that as a voice to get people talking?
Yeah, of course. So the Tacona brand kind of started between me and a couple of friends. So one of my main social groups is I've got a GT86, and there's a lot of people that are in the driver's club, and a few of us from the Midlands all kind of got together, started the group chat, and kind of things went from there. So I've made quite a lot of my closest friends again through cars. And last January, me and a couple of friends, we were deciding on different ideas, playing around with things that we could do, and one of them suggested a clothing brand. So the three of us kind of got to work coming up with ideas and themes and designs, and unfortunately my friends are both studying full-time, they're both working full-time, they don't really have the commitment capabilities to give to doing something like this. So I asked them in as kind of way as possible if I could kind of just take it and run with it in my own direction, come up with a new name, come up with a new idea, but kind of not want to steal things from under their feet just because I had the ability to put some more time into it. So that's really where the tangent line was, and the brand really started, was just a couple of mates coming up with a clothing idea and wanting to run automotive themes through it.
And where does the name itself come from?
So the name itself, as many a schoolboy will know, when you're bored in the back of a maths lesson, you start a doodling. And my textbooks are obviously full of cars, and I wanted to be a car designer, as many people do. And so by the end of the year, I'd developed a full catalogue of cars I'd drawn up myself. And then I decided, well, if I'm going to draw cars, I might as well have a car company. So that was the imaginary name for my car company back when I was about 8 years old, scribbling in maths books. And if my mum ever finds the box full of textbooks, I'm sure she'll be able to find the name scribbled all over the back of them somewhere.
Oh, brilliant.
But
I feel like everybody had a made-up business that they started when they were about 8 years old.
What was yours? Hairdressing salon?
No, mine was really weird. Ours was a family-run business called Benjamin Towers. And it was an architecture firm.
Oh, so random.
So random. Yeah, and slightly boring.
My younger brother wanted to be an architect.
That's it. I thought I could design a house on The Sims, I thought I could be an architect.
Sims.
I know, but God, let alone that. Don't have the math skills for that, because I was at the back of the math class doodling on the back about Benjamin Towers.
Not learning maths.
Yeah.
Ironically, the thing that you needed most.
Exactly. Yeah, ironic. Yeah.
Tacona's a good name. Credit to your past self for coming up with that when you were a kid.
I think it was like a combination of like Ducati and something completely random. And it was just one of those, I was like, oh, that sounds like an Italian sports car. And then it kind of just stuck around in the back of my head until I was sat having a dinner with a friend whose dad's relatively kind of successful. And his advice was, if you're going to create a business, make a new word, because then that is the associated word to the business style, rather than you then having to associate your business to existing things.
Yeah.
So that
it sticks as well. It's a sticky name. Like from the first time I heard it, it's not left my mind.
No.
You know, it's not one of those. You go, God, what was that bloody thing called again? So what's the long term dream for the business? What's the end game here? What do you want to achieve?
Well, ultimately, the end game would be to become a recognised brand, providing kind of these talking points. That is the idea behind the theme of the designs, is, well, if you recognise the brand and what it stands for and you get chatting to someone else, it's a step in breaking down the barrier. What I've found when I've been at events and meets and just chatting to people about the brand is, as soon as you mention kind of mental health and that it's a safe enough space to discuss it, more often than not, someone's got something to speak to you about that subject. But until that kind of barrier is breached, it kind of sits in the back of the conversation without really being discussed, because people have this kind of stigma towards talking about it. So that was kind of the whole idea of let's make something recognisable, let's have motorsport themes running through it, like the t-shirt I'm wearing has the martini stripes.
Yeah.
It was, well, if you recognise the brand and you're aware that the brand is synonymous with talking about things, it makes it a shorter distance to travel between cars and talking about what you might be going through, what's troubling you. Because a lot of people, especially men, will hold it inside and not really discuss it, whereas breaking down that barrier is one step to helping people. So the kind of the ultimate goal for the brand is obviously to be a recognised clothing brand, but then also to work on kind of trips and events and just make some positive memories for people, to create this positive environment for growth and development and fixing people's issues, as well as obviously doing the charitable element that I'm kind of instilling into the foundations of the business model.
And we covered a few of the stats at the top of the podcast, but how big a problem is this? You know, obviously we know that it tends to be guys that don't talk about their issues more so than girls.
Yeah.
How big is this issue that we're facing?
Well, just the number that we discussed from 2017 of 5,821 male suicides is pretty big, and then to think that increased by 11% the next year to the best part of 5,500, nearly 6,000, it seems like a relatively small number when you think of the terms of the population, but then if you put that into the terms of, well, how big is a small town, it all of a sudden becomes 10% of the population of most people's local town.
And the ripple effects, you know, the family and friends and everyone.
Yeah, exactly. One of the charities I'm looking at working with this year, helping bereavement. So they deal with kind of men that have been through the bereavement process or going through the bereavement process to assist, because a suicide doesn't affect the person that commits suicide. It affects everyone around them, which is kind of the point of, well, let's not let it get to that point. So yeah, some of the statistics in the graph, mainly from the Samaritans website, which is a real good kind of source of information, and it creates nice clear pictures of what the information is. Stuff like men are 3 times more likely to kill themselves based on the number of suicides, 75% were men versus women. It's a bit of a, not necessarily an epidemic, but it's definitely something that is needing to be taken a lot more seriously.
Is it so? Tackling mental health is a thing that is talked about a lot these days as well, which is just brilliant, and even, you know, it's getting more and more I suppose publicity in a way. But is it tackling it at the source? Is it, because the word I find is support is said a lot, and having that support, and a lot of people who perhaps are going through tough times don't have that support, which compounds it even more, and perhaps is why their mental health issues have begun in the first place, because they feel isolated and they feel alone. And you mentioned about bereavement there, although, and I've never been affected by anyone having suicide, I lost my mum a couple of years ago, or just under 2 years ago, and so going through that grief process is difficult.
Yeah.
And it's something I still struggle with every day, but I'm lucky enough to have a supportive family and friends and people who if I want to talk about it, they will happily sit there and let me bark on about it. But for people who don't have that, is it the lack of that support? Is that where we need to focus?
Yeah, I think that's a massive kind of influencing factor as to how quickly people kind of recover from, like you say, with the horrible example you've had to go through. Having that lack of kind of a social group or a social engagement to not necessarily directly talk about the problem, but just to kind of feel part of something or around people, that you're not isolating yourself and being alone, as you both discussed. The isolating factor is one of the big things that makes people feel so low in mood, and like with your time on the radio, and I myself went through it as a sales rep, you spend 80% of your time completely on your own. It's having that network around you and engaging with people that are close to you, or maybe even people that you don't really know, but having something in common, such as kind of cars or sport or doing things to really kind of pull yourself forward. Because the worst thing to do is just to sit and dwell on things. Because all you do is then you spiral further and further into the problem.
When you sit and dwell on things, that is the worst. Because you can think of all these ridiculous scenarios in your head that would seem logical to you at the time. Then you go out in the real world, you leave the house, and it's like, well, no, actually, that was just ridiculously amount of overthinking.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's the beauty of the car world, isn't it? That there's a community out there
that's
available to you to reach out to if you know where to go.
And it's not necessarily limiting into the directions it can go. Like one kind of an interesting connection between me and Abby, who was on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
The Aston Martin Vulcan that she drove on the Grand Tour, I met the guy who owns that a couple of years ago, and now we've kind of become friends.
Right.
So it kind of connects people from all levels just by being cars. Like we were at an event together and got chatting about his Aston Martin, and I was parked next to him in a GT86. And he was like, oh, I like that. And it really connects people from all levels and all walks of life.
Yeah.
And that's one real big thing, is that there's not as much closed offness, and you find like football, if you support a different club, then we're immediately kind of rivals, and it's very open and engaging, and it's almost all encompassing except for the few kind of exceptions of people being reckless and things like that.
Yeah. And is this your full-time gig now, or is this at the moment a side hustle? I know you've started the Kickstarter campaign, and we should give people information about that. Is this your full-time?
Not currently, no. It's still, it's been kind of a fully fledged thing since maybe June last year. So it's still on the growth and getting the name out there and kind of getting recognition, which is why things like this are so great to be a part of and kind of getting into local newspapers and things like that. It's kind of the goal is to become a full-time thing and to grow to eventually be able to kind of get out there and support more and kind of get involved with local communities and maybe employ people that are in vulnerable positions, that kind of thing. But no, for now it's a part-time gig until it pays the bills.
And how can people get involved if the Kickstarter campaign, for example? How can people find that?
So Kickstarter, nice and easy. Tacona is a relatively unique name, so just searching for that on Kickstarter finds it pretty quickly. I've tried to put as much information into it as possible to really help people kind of understand exactly what the brand is, what the idea is, and what the goal is for it. The campaign is basically just to cover the costs to be a trader at events and really take things into the public space. It's a bit hypocritical to talk about openness and communication when nobody can find you or speak to you.
Yeah.
So it's the goal is to get to the shows, be on the trade stands, kind of sell some products, get talking to people and really get involved with the community more.
So for anyone who's listening to this right now and who may be listening to this, then suddenly it kicks them in the head. They think, "Oh, I think I might have an issue." What's their what's the next steps for them? What can they do?
So my advice would be to first just talk about things. People that you're close with, friends, just kind of go, "Can we have a chat?" Even if it's not directly about the problems that you're facing, just to kind of pull yourself out of an isolative position. Following from that, it would be kind of go to the GP. Speak to a professional about the problems. I've put on the website a page full of information for like the Samaritans, Car, Mind, just all the useful phone numbers and website links, just in case anyone happens to be on the website needing a bit of help. I would love to be able to provide counselling, but I'm probably the least qualified person. So I
but sometimes it is just an ear, isn't it? You know, whether it's an employer or family,
it's
friends.
Someone who you just want. Sometimes you just want someone to take a bit of an interest, isn't it? And someone who is openly listening to you, and not just, you know, because we live in such a busy world that it is so easy to just get so wound up in yourself. I'm guilty of it. I'm sure we all are. But, you know, especially, you know, walk around central London, your head's down on the tube, you know, your ears are in, and you have no idea what the person next to you might be thinking, going through, anything like that.
Exactly. It's crazy to see just how many people are suffering with something and how little people are engaging with the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, the one thing I'd learned from my experiences in the hospital is the noticeable signs of when there might be an issue. A friend of mine, he runs a small business on the side of it, working a full-time job, and so he's very busy all the time. And it was one of those where you kind of noticed that he's lacking space, lacking time, never stopping, and then it starts to spiral and spiral and spiral. So it's kind of just noticing on the little points and telling people, look, take 5 minutes or spend a day without your phone, or just kind of leave it in the other room when you go to bed and disengage from it. Basically,
easier said than done.
I've literally this week, me and my partner, we've kind of forced ourselves to disengage from kind of social media and phones.
Social media is such a bad place sometimes.
It's
it really
the worst.
Is
I recently discovered I can't remember what the paper was called, but there's a book in America called The Coddling of the American Mind. I believe the author was on a Joe Rogan podcast, and he was talking about how social media directly influences kind of self-harm rates in teenage girls, and it's a real problem with having access to everybody's highlight reel. It's kind of a cliche statement. It's like, don't compare your work in progress to everyone else's highlights.
That Instagram effect, isn't it? You know, you see the glossy side of everyone's lives. The reality is very, very different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can easily look like a millionaire and have 100 quid in the bank.
Are you a millionaire?
I'm not, no.
Damn.
That's why... I've got
one of those.
Yeah, that's why I've got a Kickstarter going.
Well, listen, it's a fabulous course, and thank you for coming to talk to us about it. And I think we should do more together. There's events that we've got planned in the future, and we should certainly stay in touch and see if we can get you involved in some of those, because it's a fascinating subject. It needs as much exposure as people can give it, and we're happy to be a platform for that. And I think to anyone that's listening that's been touched by anything that Lewis has said, and would like to share a story of their own, feel free to reach out to Lewis or us here at Motormouth, and we can cover it. Lewis's website is tacona.co.uk.
Yeah, that's the one.
And obviously you're available across all social media and so on if you want to get in touch with him. But a very worthwhile cause. We'll post some stuff out on our socials all about the different channels and the Samaritans and so on and so forth. But like I say, thank you for coming to see us. We'll keep the message going. And please, everyone, give Tacona a follow. 10% of all clothing proceeds go to their charity of the month. So they're certainly doing their bit, and we need to all club together and make sure we all help. So Lewis, thank you very much for coming to see us.
Thank you for having me.
And we will certainly keep in touch.
If you ever expand into shoes, I'm a size 16 if you can get 16. Me a pair of them. Yeah.
Wow. Is that lovely. The biggest pair of feet you've ever heard about?
I think that might be, actually, yeah.
It's definitely the biggest pair of feet.
Applause for that. Thank you very much.
I'm surprised you're not 8 foot tall.
Oh, 6 foot five. I'm nearly there.
Wait till he stands up.
Oh, Lewis, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for listening, and thanks so much to Lewis for giving up his time. We'll be back with another episode soon. But if you have been affected by anything we've spoken about in this episode, please don't be afraid to reach out to us. We are always happy to chat to anyone. And do check out the Tacona website for all the official details on how you can seek official support. If you have missed any of the previous episodes of the Motormouth podcast, you can take a hop back in your chosen podcast player and find them all there. And don't forget, there are also loads more content on MMTV and the Motormouth app available to download on any device now. Like, subscribe and review if you feel so inclined. It really helps people to find the podcast. And you can also follow us on social media as well. Twitter is @motormouth_, Instagram is @motormouth_official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. In the meantime, from myself and Tim and the whole Motormouth team, we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.